freshman in high school. And every year, the freshman German class had the very same assignment. Each student had to put together a book of words and pictures that included a German word for every letter of the alphabet. It was a big project, and the teacher would ask us often if we were working on the assignment, and she told us not to leave it until the last minute many, many times. Well, I didn't listen to her warnings. And so a couple days before the assignment was due, I began to feverishly work on it. I think I had rationalized to myself that it wouldn't be that hard and I could knock it out in no time at all. Well, it turned into a huge life lesson. The assignment didn't get finished. I received the worst grade that the teacher had ever given on the assignment, and it was a huge part of my grade for the entire semester. So in a moment of panic and acceptance and fear and whatever else a kid can feel, I asked my teacher two important questions. What can I do to salvage my grade in your class this semester? And the second one might be the more important question. What can I do so that you don't call my parents and tell them about this grade? So my teacher and I made an agreement that day, and we both held up our end of that agreement. But just so you know, doing the assignment would have been easier than carrying around the burden that I had placed on myself by not doing the assignment as it was assigned. Today we hear that Jesus is journeying to the cross. And on this journey, he is approached by a man who kneels before him and asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I have a favorite quote of the older, wiser Luke Skywalker in one of the new Star Wars movies. He says, "Amazing. Every word of what you just said was wrong." The man's question, while earnest, is about to be torn apart. Jesus is about to show him why. First, Jesus takes exception to being called good and says, "No one is good but God alone." They have a whole conversation about commandment keeping, and the man confidently says that he has done it all. So then, Jesus gives him the opportunity to do something by giving away all that he had, and then he could follow. As we know, the man walks away disappointed. And when you read down just a little farther, we hear that it won't be easy for anyone to enter the kingdom of God. There won't be something that any one of us can do. It can be easy at first to hear the scripture and think that it has no application to us. You might not feel particularly rich, but let me ask you a question or two. How many of you have a refrigerator in your house? You can raise your hand. Do you have a refrigerator in your house? Okay. How many of you have more than one refrigerator in your house? Okay, there's a few of you, more than one refrigerator. How many of you think that the use of a refrigerator makes you rich? Okay, a couple of you, okay. So do you know that somewhere between 1.2 billion and 3.3 billion people, yes, that's with a B, people in the world live on less electricity than one average refrigerator in the United States. So the discrepancy in that number between 1.2 and 3.3 billion is whether you have a good, efficient refrigerator or you have one that's really not efficient at all. So that's 4 out of 10 people on the planet. And sometimes I think we need a little perspective on things, because like I said, I don't think in America that owning a refrigerator seems like something that we would judge wealth by. Seems to be a pretty low bar. Jesus, of course, in the gospel tells the man that he lacks one thing. He's told to go and sell what he owns, give the money to the poor, and he will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Again, we're told that the man goes away shocked and grieving, for he had many possessions. And if the scripture ended there, we might be able to make one conclusion. We might be able to point to someone else and say, how hard it will be for so-and-so to enter the kingdom of God because look at all the stuff they have. But if you're still comfortable in your seat, you might want to hold on just for a minute. As Jesus often does, he pulls his disciples aside for some additional teaching. He says to them how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples don't seem to understand, and so Jesus continues. He says, children, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Think back for a moment to the man's question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus goes on, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. So this is a simple yes or no question. Can a camel go through the eye of a needle? No. Is there anything I can do or you can do to inherit eternal life? The disciples ask the most important question. Then who can be saved? We are told earlier that Jesus looked at the man and loved him. I believe he looks at the disciples in this moment with that same love when he answers, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." So yes, you could say the camel could go through the eye of the needle because it's possible for God, but it's not possible for us. I still hold to my answer. It was no. But for the grace of God, it is not possible. There's nothing that you or I can do to earn our way into heaven. But for God, your salvation and my salvation is possible. Throughout my years of being a pastor, I have met more than one person who has said something like this. They say, "Pastor, I know as Lutherans that we don't believe in works, but I'm going to do some just in case." And it's easier so often for us to think that we can do something to earn favor with God than to rely on the grace and mercy of God. The scripture should do exactly what it says in the reading from Hebrews. God's word that it is impossible for us to be saved on our own should hit us like the sharpest sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. Because before God, we cannot hide our faults and failures. We are laid bare before the one to whom we must render an account. This whole last week, I've been singing two songs in my head. One, you might have noticed in my devotion from earlier the week, we're going to sing it following the sermon this morning, is "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And I want you to hear those words today in the context of this sermon. But I have a juxtaposed song in my head that was from a very different time and genre as well. The second song, I can't tell you who the artist is, but I remember seeing them at a college campus back when I was in seminary. But the line that has been sticking with me goes like this. Well, you don't see a U-Haul being pulled behind a hearse, and God couldn't care less about the size of your purse. Money doesn't matter when you're going to learn, because baby, it's all gonna burn. So, and even though that this scripture doesn't use that imagery of a refiner's fire burning off of us the impurities that we carry, it does seem to fit with this two-edged sword in Hebrews and the eye of the needle in the gospel. Before God, nothing can be hidden. Nothing can be brought along. Nothing can accompany us on the journey except the grace of God that is given to us through Christ Jesus. Drowned in the waters of baptism like him, we can hope that we are also raised in a resurrection like his. It's impossible for us, but not impossible for God. And if you still aren't convinced, if you still think that you can move the needle towards grace instead of judgment on your own, then listen to what Luther has to say. There is no more dangerous, more pernicious scandal than a good life exteriorly manifested by good works. Pious souls who do good to gain the kingdom of heaven not only will never reach it, but will be counted among the damned. Those are strong words from Luther. What happens for each of us? It could be wealth. It could be pride. It could be self-righteousness. It could be any number of things. But whenever we try to place something between ourselves and God, or we try to justify ourselves before God, we try to claim some kind of power over God. That if I just do this one thing, God will have to relent. For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. So we often live in the space between. We live in response to what God has first given us. We are called to give sacrificially out of the abundance that God has first given to us. We are called to care for the least among us, the outcast, the widow, the orphan. None of these things are for our sake or make God happy about us, but these things are done for the sake of our neighbor. And they don't earn us anything, but are an inadequate yet faithful response to the grace and love given to us by God. We are called to live as ones who have experienced the grace of God, washed clean in the waters of baptism, and nourished at Christ's table to go out into the world in peace and serve the world that God has made. Those many years ago, I received grace from my German teacher when she gave me a plan to dig myself out of the hole I had put myself into by not completing that most important assignment. In that moment, I could work my way back to a passing grade. But my German teacher and God are very different. Someday I will have to stand before God, and all of the things that I have done or left undone will be on display. I will not be able to protect myself from that judgment. There will be nothing I can do in that moment or in my lifetime before to inherit eternal life. I will be completely at God's mercy. We will all face that same judgment. For me and for you on our own, salvation will be impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. This is where our faith is placed. Our faith is placed in the grace and mercy of God, that Christ has died for our sins, that God will recognize us as beloved children when God sees that cross placed on our forehead in our baptism, that God will look on us with love, like Jesus looked at the man, and like I believe he looked at his disciples. Salvation is impossible for us, yes, but not impossible for God. For God, all things are possible.